Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, what a wonderful gospel we have, and how encompassing it is, and how practical it is for you and I today, even in this modern space age. Some might think a lot of the what we read about in the Bible has passed away, but as I read it, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word shall never pass away. You know, our Jesus is there to heal us in any area where we need it. Well, here on the program today, I'd like to welcome Roger Sutton on the telephone with me here. Roger, good to have you on.
Thanks. Hi.
Roger, if I could get some background on you, when was it you were born again?
Well, I was born again at the age of 5, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I was blessed, and I was able to grow up in a Christian home, and I got the truth all when I was growing up, and I was baptized, I guess, at the age of 5, and I just didn't really venture out until I was about 19. I was pretty, you know, I stayed in my Christian walk pretty good.
But then, like many of us, we got to flowing into the world activities.
Yeah.
And what seemed to happen in your case?
Well, I started out when I was about 19. I got around some people that were using drugs, and I really didn't partake at that time. But I thought I'd make a little extra cash, so I bought some drugs, you know, and then I opened that door. I bought some drugs and I started selling them, and it was marijuana, actually, to be honest. And then, you know, after a while, then I started drinking, and then that started opening up more doors, and then I got up to about 23 or 24, and, you know, that just wasn't enough. So then the enemy sent some people into my life. Actually, there was some really close friends of mine that I'd grown up with, and they sent some friends, and they said, well, why don't you try to smoke this stuff, you know? And I was like, okay, well, what the heck, you know, because I was so far into the drinking scene that it really didn't matter at that point, because the enemy had wrapped himself around me at that point. And next thing I know, I just started using that, and started to see my life, my relationships, and everything just start dwindle down to nothing. And
life wasn't that much fun at that point, was it?
No, it really wasn't. It was pretty interesting. I mean, it was just to see the things that went on and how far I stooped down into the enemy's pit and bought his lies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It could be said you were not a happy camper. Is that a fair statement?
That's a very, very, very fair statement.
Okay.
I wasn't happy at all.
Well, how did you find out that there was an answer to your dilemma?
Well, I had a friend that used to listen to you on the radio. And actually, I knew that God was my only way out and Jesus was my only way out. It's just that I had to come to the point at the bottom. You know, at that point, I was so far, about a year ago, I was so far down, you know, into the dumps that I could have cared less whether I lived or died. And I knew that the only way that I could look was up. And so I just started seeking everything I could. I started seeking, you know, started going to church, and then I heard about your ministry, and that's when I came down to City Church to hear your sermon on the deliverance and stuff.
And did you get ministered to that night?
Oh yeah.
What happened when the who worked with you?
I don't remember his name.
Okay, one of the men, the ministers.
Yeah, one of the men that you had there. We just we basically just prayed through the things that were that were bothering me, which was alcohol and you know, I'd used various drugs, and the drug I was using at the time was cocaine. And we just decided that we would just pray it out, and I just, you know, I felt like weird little things leaving me. I don't know exactly how to explain it. It just, I know when I walked out of there, I was a different person.
But you did feel some stuff physically moving inside?
Oh, yeah. It was really weird because I had sweaty palms, if I remember right, and I just had a few things that were just, you know, that weren't right with me. I know that.
Actually, what you describe, Roger, is probably represents 80% of the people we minister to will feel these things, which is kind of nice in a way because you know you have something on the run that doesn't belong there.
Right.
And they all come to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives some way or another. So
right. When
you got one running, that's actually great news, and particularly as you feel it depart, then you know you suddenly have had a change. Whatever that evil spirit was promoting, it's no longer there. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news, though?
Oh, that's great.
And how many times did we go through that with you that evening?
Oh, probably two or three or four different times. I know that once we got rid of certain ones that no more were there, I remember that.
Cause, mm-hmm. Strangely enough, most people will have about 36 worth is pretty typical. Before the evening's over, they will have felt that happening several dozen times. But what was the end result when you walked out? What did you start seeing the following week and all?
Well, I started seeing the enemy trying to attack me. I soaked myself in the Word after that because that's really important.
Yes, we're filling the house.
And right.
There are 7 steps that we teach on staying free, so that's certainly one of them. And, but did you see some changes on the drugs and alcohol?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I basically didn't have any cravings for them anymore. I didn't have, it was really, really wild because, I mean, it made it so much easier. Because, see, I was going to AA at the time, and I just quit going to that, too, because, I mean, the Lord just said, hey, man, trust me, and, you know, you're delivered.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed, and you didn't even have withdrawals. That's got to be the Jesus way.
Oh, that's the only way.
Amen. Yeah. And the Jesus way is the easy way.
Oh, that's the really easy way.
I mean, that wasn't a tough evening, actually, was it at all, Roger?
No, it was pretty comforting. I mean, everybody was, you know, extremely cordial and just, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit.
So as time went on, you actually had to, you came back for some fine-tuning about, what, a year later?
Yeah, about a year later.
Was just recently. And have you seen some additional changes in your fine-tuning after you came back?
I was having some problems with...
But it wasn't the drug and alcohol.
No, I was done with that, thank God.
Hallelujah.
I was having some problems with some other things in my life, and I just really saw them free up. Like, I was having some financial trouble and stuff like that, and I think, and we prayed about that, and things started falling in place there, you know, and just, it's like when you come in, it's like blinders drop off your eyes. It's really awesome.
Satan's pretty good at trying to blind us to what is going on and who the real enemy is. Most people think it's flesh and blood, of course, that they're wrestling with, and yet Paul seemed to have that same problem with the church in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, the same problem. People even then were thinking flesh and blood, and most people do today. So you have to renew your mind sufficiently to the Word to be suspicious of that it may be evil spirits bothering us, which again is great news because we have an answer to that. If we can find out problems in our lives are actually evil spirits, that is wonderful news because we can deal with that and deal with it quickly, praise God.
Yep.
Well, how's your life now, Roger?
Well, things are going great. I went back to school as soon as all that happened, and I'm a year from graduating college, and, you know, I didn't even have that in mind at the time when I was going through what I was going through, you know, because I didn't care about anything but trying to get my next high. But now I'm trying to better myself on a daily basis, and you know, hopefully that, you know, I get to win a few people and bring some people to deliverance.
And, of course, you got your high, but your high is in Jesus now. Amen?
Amen. Amen. There, the only high I want anymore, man.
That's right. And there's no hangovers or withdrawals. Roger Sutton, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, here on the program today, I'd like to welcome Vanessa Thomas. Good to have you, Vanessa.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Vanessa, I'd like to get a little history on you first. When was it that you were born again?
I accepted Jesus in my heart when I was 5.
All right, that's a ways back.
Yeah.
Pretty young. And did you go to church through the years? Or?
I did, uh-huh. I was brought up in church.
Okay, and then finally, when did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues?
I was about 14.
Okay. Was that quite an impact on your life?
It was, yes.
You seem to have more power.
Yes, tremendous.
That's always a loaded question because that's what everyone experiences, and that's the reason for that. When the Lord said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And as certainly as he does come in his fullness, all of us, we see changes. He comes with his package, it seems, power and much more.
Yes.
Well, Vanessa, how was it that you even learned about this part of the gospel called deliverance?
Well, I had, you know, heard about it in church, and I really thought that it was for just people that were really having a hard time, you know, or people that were into witchcraft or, you know, somewhere over there in India, I thought. But
yeah, in Haiti or Africa or someplace.
I did. I really did, and believed in it and everything, but just didn't think that it would hit so close to home. Mm-hmm. And
pretty common. Most people, they just don't imagine it would be as common as it really is.
I know. And I'm glad that I'm seeing that now. I think a lot more people could benefit from going through a deliverance experience than they really know.
Yes.
And I had a friend that said that she knew of the ministry, and I had to have terrible anxiety attacks. Just terrible. And I was open to it, you know. I was kind of nervous about it, but I really was at the point in my life when there was nothing else to do.
Well, it's, you know, what's the downside of prayer is kind of what it gets to, you know, and if people would look at it that way, and certainly the price is right.
Oh, I know.
Already paid for at Calvary.
I know it. I had just given up on everything. I'm 25 now, and maybe my anxiety started about 15, and I had been to counselors and psychiatrists for, you know, 10 years now. I had been on numerous, I think 5 or 6 medications for anxiety.
How long ago, Vanessa, did the panic attack seem to start?
About 10 years.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I've had them about 10 years, and, you know, sometimes they would go down, their degrees would go down. I wouldn't have them as often, or they weren't as bad, but they were still just debilitating. It was just crippling me. I couldn't, you know, talk to people. I was real nervous about talking to people or even eating dinner with somebody, and really had a hard time. It kept me out of school for a while. I didn't want to go to college because I was so nervous.
Really stealing in your life, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I felt like it was just destroying me, and it never came across to me that it might be, you know, some sort of spirit or anything. And when my friend mentioned to the deliverance ministry, I went in, and it was such a loving atmosphere, such a loving and real quaint. It's not, you know, people banging their Bibles and stuff, and went through the deliverance, and I'm free now.
Praise God. Well, when you were ministered to, what seemed to go on, Vanessa? Did you feel anything happening, or what happened?
Well, when I went through, let's see, I first had to go through a forgiveness process. That was one of the big things that was holding me down, was my unforgiveness towards somebody in my life. And that was really a large part of the experience. And then...
And, of course, Jesus said, if we don't forgive, we'll get turned over to the tormentors. So that was probably a door.
It's so true. And even when I went through the unforgiveness part, I already felt, you know, like something had lifted. I thought, wow, this is great. But then when we kept going and more spirits were, you know, and gosh, they give you a little sheet, and I probably circled maybe about 20 different things that I even circled laziness, and I circled my anxiety and inferiority, and and depression. Depression was a big one. And as we were going through the process, we found out, she was asking me questions, and one of my grandmothers had been in Eastern Star. It's kind of a female form of the masonry.
Right.
And when we started hitting that and started breaking those curses is when my anxiety and everything started lifting, you know, and I was released from those spirits. And it was just the most unbelievable experience I'd ever been through. I physically felt lighter when I left. Just physically felt lighter in my body. And it's just been amazing.
You know, sometimes, strange as it sounds, people report they did lose so many pounds during the ministry session. So that is a strange one, all right. Well, you came, two or three times, didn't you, Vanessa?
Uh-huh. I think I've been three times.
And each time you seem to feel better and...
Yes, uh-huh. It took a while to go through all of the Eastern Star. There are so many different levels that I think that took about two sessions. And then my last session, we were dealing with embarrassment. I used to turn very bright red during my anxiety attacks. And after my first session, when the anxiety lifted, and I knew it had lifted, I didn't have any more anxiety.
Hallelujah. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it was. But I was still turning red. I was still turning bright red in different parts of my day. I might have had maybe six anxiety attacks a day. And I wasn't feeling anxious inside, but I was still turning bright red.
Uh-huh.
And I told the lady that was doing the deliverance with me.
Pat Cherry.
Yes, I told Pat. I said, you know, I'm still turning red, but I don't have anxiety. And that's when we decided, you know, that's embarrassment. And I tell you, she went through, and that it manifested. It didn't want to go, but,
mean it actually talked through you?
It didn't talk through me, but, first of all, I just turned probably the deepest red that I could feel.
Final manifestation.
Yes. And, my head, I kind of started shaking a little bit, and it wasn't real frightening, but I could tell it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, she just kept, you know, talking to it, and, we went back and I found out where it came in. One of my teachers had embarrassed me in the front of the class in sixth grade. And I forgave that teacher. And I'm telling you, and Pat can tell you, it drained from my forehead just down, just drained, the red drained down.
Praise God.
And when you get delivered, you always put something, you ask the Holy Spirit to put something in its place.
Yes.
And so for anxiety, I have peace. And for my embarrassment, I have boldness.
Hallelujah.
And I told Pat, I said, well, Satan better be on guard, because I have wanted to witness so long, but I wasn't able to. I was just shut up.
And, of course, that's exactly what the other side had in mind.
Yes.
They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and certainly to block ministries. And that's what they were doing, and they're doing it with many people out there. That's the sad thing. They just don't realize it's spiritual. They think it's flesh and blood somehow.
I know it.
Well, what have you noticed in your life since then?
Well, I have so much joy. I'm just bubbling. I'm just absolutely bubbling over. I have so much joy. I have so much peace, and it really is. I never understood a peace that passes understanding.
Mm.
But I have a peace, and I think, my God, I am so peaceful. It is absolutely unreal. It has just been amazing. And I want to tell you this, Everett. I had I circled laziness on my sheet there, of all the different things, and I said I'm pretty lazy, and I didn't really know about that one. I thought, well, they can't. Do you know the next day? And I didn't even think about this laziness spirit because she did not confront the laziness spirit directly. She just said all other spirits linked with anxiety, you know, so maybe it linked up. I came home, and I tell you, since from that day to this, I am so busy. I painted my room. I am up and doing things all the time, and people can tell a difference. They are just, you know, people can see it. It's just life-changing.
They can see it right in your face. Your countenance has changed.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's our Jesus, Vanessa, setting the people free. And praise God, here you are, a recipient of that abundant life now. You can move forward unhindered. Nothing there now to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, Vanessa Thomas, thank you so much for sharing what Jesus has done in your life.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to welcome to the program today, all the way from Prince George, British Columbia, Canada, Steve Whitty. Good to have you, Steve.
Hello, Everett.
Great to have you on the show today, Steve. And I'd like to get a little history on the people that are on. When was it you were born again?
Well, I grew up with a Lutheran church from the time I was an infant, but then I was kind of had a challenge to decide whether I was going to really go with the Word or not when I was about 21 or 22 years old in a college-age Bible study class. And one day, a passage out of the book of Romans just hit me square between the eyes and wouldn't let me alone until I decided, okay, we'll have it His way. And then things eased up, and I've been having the next lesson ever since.
All right. Well, certainly the Word speaks to us, and that's so true with all of us. So many times we'll read a scripture, and then later we'll read it, and it really jumps out at us for some reason. Apparently God just works it that way for us.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, you came, let's see, now you're in the business world and, financial planning and all?
Yes, that's correct.
And what do they call it there in British Columbia?
Well, I guess we'd call it financial planning and investment brokerage. You guys call it investment banking down there, but that wouldn't be a legal term up here.
Yeah, so I knew it was a little different up there. But well,
yeah.
Steve, you came down to Oklahoma. How long has it been now?
It was last June, I guess, in 1999, in the month of June, I believe.
Okay. And as it turned out, you'd come down for business, but then we happened to get into spiritual things. So how is it that you, heard about this part of the gospel and had a curiosity about it?
Well, I guess that goes back about 15 years ago, after I went through a divorce situation that left me pretty much in a very depressed situation and kind of not in any direction and sinking lower and lower, that I ended up going to a church service with a friend that attended a more of a full gospel type of a group, and I was exposed to the Holy Spirit in a way that I didn't get exposed to where I was going before. Not that they didn't believe in it, but they thought it like mainly happened 2,000 years ago. Well, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that certainly showed me otherwise, and that got me curious. I knew what I was experienced was real, and it was of God, and it just kind of whet my appetite, and I could kind of tell. I just peeked through the crack in the door, and there was another whole realm on the other side, and I just had to know more. It's been a searching ever since.
It is a big book we have, as it turns out, and a lot more in the Bible than most of us even begin to realize. Certainly, that was true with myself. I was born again when I was 13, but I didn't start finding out about the rest of the book until age 44. So.
Yeah, and I was about 41 or 42 when this happened to me.
Okay. So, anyway, when you were here in Oklahoma City, you did attend one of our ministry sessions. How about telling what happened?
Well, I attended one of the sessions. I had been hearing about your ministry from one of the guys I work with that you had gotten to know, and I was interested. It was kind of a continuation of this learning what's on the other side of the door, the rest of what the Bible has to say and all the wonderful things the Lord has for us. And so I went trying to learn, and I was presented with some situations around me with other people and one personally. And I witnessed from literally 3 feet away, I saw a man's leg lengthen a full inch, and he walked straight when he wasn't before. And then my very severe osteoarthritis situation was ministered to. And prior to that, I wouldn't have been able to lift a cup of coffee with my left arm, and certainly not be able to do a push-up. My joints simply wouldn't have been able to physically lift my body off the floor. But afterwards, I was able to bang off 10 of them just like that. So
praise God. You've always liked exercising and doing push-ups.
I can do 50 of them quite easily now, and then I would have never dreamed possible. I was scheduled to have surgery, additional surgery on my arthritis, and it became unnecessary to do that. And my boys, they were used to helping me do things that I, you know, wouldn't be able to do myself anymore, like splitting firewood or something, and because I just physically couldn't. But now I do it without even thinking about it, and my one son saw me do that, and he phoned his brother, who was in another city, and told him about it, and his other brother, he told him, he says, "Guess what, Dad's splitting firewood." And the other brother said, "No way." You know, and he said, "Yeah, yes way," you know, and this is how it happened.
Well, that's our Jesus, isn't it? And of course, he is a deliverer in every area of our life. He, of course, delivers us from the darkness into the light. But he delivers us from situations and negative traits and problems in our lives. But he delivers us into healing, from pain into, praise God, healing. That's all part of the package, isn't it? It's so exciting to find that out, that we do all of it. But then we do find we have an adversary that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and it would block all those areas. And so many times, of course, we've also found we have certain doors that we have allowed these spirits to come through. Did you find there were some doors in your life, Steve, that...
Yes, I was totally unaware of some of the things that I was doing or things that I had around me that were doorways that kind of kept aggravating things and having to have kind of repeat... call them deliverances or Jesus overhauls, as you've called them. And when I eliminated those things, suddenly the problems quit coming back. One of the things that I found was very surprising to me was past relationships with other people, soul ties. I didn't even know such a thing could be, but that was certainly an issue in my case.
We dealt with those, didn't we? We have a prayer. We take people through on terminating a possible demonic soul ties that have formed up. And as with most people, you found you had a few.
Mm-hmm.
We're all kind of complicated when it gets down to it, isn't it, Steve? I mean, if we've lived a few years, as it turns out, we've done a number of things to ourselves.
Yeah.
Not to mention what our ancestors may have done as well.
Yes, that's right.
Well, Steve, so you saw some other things even change in your life besides the healing situation?
Yes, I've discovered that my role as a head of a household, as a husband for my wife, that I have not only the privilege but the responsibility to kind of be her spiritual lawyer, so to speak, interceding for her. She is not as aware of these things and accepting of them at this time yet. And so whenever there's difficulties between us, I lift her up before the Lord and plead her case for her and bind any demonic influences or anything that's not godly and forbid it to manifest. And I find that I have to repeatedly do a bit of a house cleaning in some ways like that, but I find that whenever I lift her up in our marriage and relationship before Him, that suddenly the frictions and problems either at least reduce, if not go away totally. But I find I have to repeatedly do that, and it's a never-ending war that we're in here until Christ eventually locks these evil things away for good for us. They seem to be persistent, but at least I know now that I do have an authority over them, and I also count that as part of my role in our home.
Amen. Well, you know, certainly the other side comes to divide and promote strife, and I'm reminded of Dr. Charles Kraft out of Fuller Seminary, who's into deliverance and inner healing a lot, and I've heard him say when something's going on in his family, he's learned to immediately say, if this is the enemy, stop it. And sure enough, things will clear up when they're arguing or something, you know. So, hey, it's just an ongoing deal, it would seem, an ongoing battle. But praise God, we have the tools, we've got the weapons to deal with it. And once we understand the war and who we are in it and how we do have the big gun in Jesus' name, praise God, we win.
Yeah, amen.
Well, just remaining a little bit of time here, Steve, are you starting to see some deliverance take place up there in British Columbia?
A little bit, yeah. There have been some cases. A few churches, Pentecostal church up here, I guess this is not new stuff to them necessarily, but I'm hearing of occasional incidents, and we're hoping to maybe take and expand your ministry up to here a little bit, and because the need is very, very great. We have, to my dismay, I find that we have quite a number of practicing witches and other issues up here, which have been causing a lot of problems, and there certainly is a need, that's for sure.
Well, as we apply the blood, we can pull down those strongholds. That's our Jesus. Well, Steve Whitty of Prince George, British Columbia, thank you so much for sharing how Jesus has set you free.
Thank you.
Well, here on the program, I'd like to welcome Christy Trent. Good to have you, Christy.
Well, thanks for having me.
Christy, we're on the telephone here. If you could speak pretty close to the telephone, I'd like to interview you. You've had some, yes, supernatural things certainly happen in you, your family, your life. So when was it you were born again? Let me get that first.
It was last summer.
Okay.
That I actually had like a rededication. I was saved when I was about 10 and then strayed away from the Lord. And then last summer got filled with the Holy Spirit and had a rededication.
Praise God. And you no doubt saw quite a change in your life at that point.
Yes, I did. I did. I had no idea.
But you know how exciting it is that you did that, because if you hadn't done it, how miserable would you be today?
Yeah, well, I had no idea what the Lord was preparing me for.
Yes. Well, why don't you explain to the listeners just what all went on and what have you seen happen?
Well, personally, when I went through some inner healing when I first got rededicated, which was just an awesome experience, and you just don't realize how much baggage you are just carrying around. And,
yes.
So I went through some inner healing, and that was good. But I just kind of felt like I needed something more. There was still stuff that was bothering me, still some baggage I was carrying around. And started to learn more about spiritual warfare and the demonic, and came to your teaching on Monday night. And I think we ended up casting out a death spirit that was generational, and found out that, you know, the demonic had a hold on my kids. And, I mean, he had a huge presence on my life. And, you know, being a Christian, I didn't even realize that he had all that power.
How did we find that out, Christy? Do you remember?
About the death spirit?
Yes.
Well, we were praying, and the death spirit manifested.
Yeah, I actually talked through you, didn't
it? Yeah, it spoke through me and said that I believe it had been around for four generations, and it was a curse spoken from my mother's side of the family, something that I would have never even realized had I not gone through that experience.
But isn't it exciting that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to break all that off?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, praise God, because, you know, it was broken off of me and my children, and through that I've been able to talk to my family members and, you know, pray with them and break it off of my sisters. And so it's been an awesome experience.
And you'd really seen what's been going on. I mean, your children had been under a terrible attack, hadn't they?
Yeah, especially my oldest daughter, from the time that she entered this world 2 years ago, she's been under a tremendous demonic attack. And in fact, just here in the last few months, we've seen the release of that. And it's been amazing. I mean,
you know, people just wouldn't imagine that it would be spiritual. We all, and I'm the same way, if I don't watch it, we all tend to think flesh and blood, you know, that it's just circumstances, it's just this and that. It's not, I mean, we don't think spiritual.
Well, we don't, and that's so right that you say that, because, I mean, when things started happening to my daughter, we weren't where we needed to be with the Lord, my husband and I, and so it was very easy for us to blame each other and, you know, blame the doctors and, you know, instead of pointing the finger at the real culprit of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so it's you're right, just being flesh, it's so easy to just to not even think about things being spiritual.
Yes.
And everything is. I mean, it's come full circle now for us to realize that absolutely everything that goes on in our lives is spiritual. Everything.
It's so true, you know.
Yeah, I mean, down to getting a drink of water. I mean, everything is spiritual.
You know, you have to really renew your mind to think like that, because the flesh wants to run with the flesh.
You do, and really take your thoughts captive, and, I mean, just really...
Yeah.
Really have a keen eye and a keen spirit.
Well, Christy, when you were ministered to, did you were there some other things cast out that you're comfortable in sharing that you can remember?
I had a lot of unforgiveness towards myself that I'd been carrying around that I just thought was normal. That you know, we all have things we don't forgive ourselves for. I think our society lets us believe that that's to be true, and so I had some unforgiveness. I had a fear. I think it was just a fear.
Was that bothering you very much, the fear?
Did it bother me?
Uh-huh, very much.
Yeah, I used to have night terrors.
Mm.
And I remember when Matt, my husband, and I first got married, I mean, they were bad enough that I would wake him up in the middle of the night. I was seeing things in our house. And I just thought I was having nightmares because of a scary movie or, you know, not realizing what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was purely... Satan just had his hands all over our house, letting things manifest and for me to see things. And, so I was delivered of that, which was just awesome.
Amen.
For him to be able to sleep.
any one of those is a marvelous thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
So you don't see the fear bothering you now?
No, I don't. And I sure can tell whenever it's starting to rear its head.
Uh-huh.
If I'm starting to be attacked by it again, it comes along with anxiety and then just worriness, and, you know, I can sure cast it out lot quicker.
You've learned how to shoot your gun.
I have. We've got the big gun.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Most Christians just leave their guns in the holsters, though.
They do, and I think the Lord has done such an awesome work with me and with Matt, and just getting us to realize, I mean, our families have been totally changed.
Well, you know? I think without question, the best defense is an offense. Come out with your guns blazing on a daily basis.
That's
in
right.
Jesus' name. And as we shoot, we win.
That's right. That's right. We do win.
The nice thing is, Christy, the bullets are free.
That is. The bullets are free. That's right. That's right. And people need to try the one thing that works.
So it sounds like you're having a lot of joy these days.
I am. I'm able to enjoy my life and enjoy my children. And it's amazing. I mean, after all the Lord has taken us through and the testings and all that Satan's tried to get all over us, and I'm just so thankful that we've had the means.
Amen. And this has even spread to some of your family. Your mother-in-law's had an awesome experience.
Yeah,
didn't
I mean
she?
it's so amazing the miraculous things that have happened. I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing. And what is so neat is I think that as Christians we tend to think that this stuff won't happen to us, that we won't see the miracles, and but it's amazing when it's actually happening to you and your family.
He sent his word and healed us and delivered us of our destructions.
Yes.
Well, with your mother-in-law, she was even diagnosed with, what, a level 3 cancer?
Yeah, she had level 3 ovarian cancer last November. She's been battling it for 3 years. And she finally went through deliverance, and we had taken her some miracle healing services, and she's finally set free. She has absolutely no cancer in her body.
Isn't that exciting?
And her doctors don't know what to tell her.
except that she's okay.
Yeah, except, you know, go home and come back and see us in a few months. And
amen.
So
I remember when we ministered to her, she actually felt that spirit coming out. A lot of people, in fact, good 80% of the people in as you go through deliverance, they'll feel them moving around inside, odd and weird as that is. but they'll also feel it go.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
And as she felt that go, we really felt we'd scored. You know, it's nice to feel them that way, because when it does go, it, you know, it's like chasing a rabbit. When it's out, it's out.
It's out, and you can shut the doors and, you know, praise God that it doesn't come back.
Amen. And she's been filling her house and spiritually now, and growing in the Lord and in the fullness of the gospel. You know, it is so wonderful to find out, of course, the most important being salvation, but to find out we have all these other benefits.
That's right. That's right. We have all of the giftings, and we can we can reap all of the benefits.
What a marvelous inheritance we have from Calvary.
Yes.
Well, Christy Trent, thank you so much for sharing on what Jesus is doing in your life.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to welcome Jackie Mashore to the show. Hi, Jackie.
Hello, Everett.
Thank you for coming on with me, and I know you have a wonderful testimony on how Jesus has touched your life, but let me get a little information first, if I might.
Okay.
When was it you became a born-again Christian?
As a child, I've always gone to church.
Okay.
I'm probably 8 years old.
Well, that's way back then.
Yeah.
And so you grew as the years went by in the Word and all, and as most of us have, And, of course, we all keep constantly finding out it is a big book, and there's lots in there for each of us as we will apply it in our lives. Well, Jackie, how was it that you happened to hear about this works of Jesus called deliverance? Who told you about this?
My stepdaughter and her husband heard about you, and they knew someone who had been to you, and it helped. And she more or less kind of twisted my arm and said, "You got to go over there, you know, and see Everett."
Well, and, it does sound a little strange. This works of Jesus, certainly to all of us, a little out of the norm for any of us. But, you know, if a guy gets tormented enough, I guess he or she's ready to try even things that sound a little different. And
mm-hmm. Well, she didn't give up. She was persistent, and I'm very thankful that, you know, she didn't just give up and accept me saying no or putting it off, you know?
Yeah. Well, you might share with the listeners, Jackie, what kind of things were bothering you that prompted you to come?
Well, I had been diagnosed with lupus, and I was, anybody that has lupus has ups and downs, but my downs had become much lower and longer than my ups, and I was really slowly declining in my health, and I was so sick, I was just kind of ready to try anything.
I remember the day you came in the office, Jackie, you had brought with you a list of tormented areas of your life. You were under pain quite a few areas, right?
Right.
And insomnia, as I recall, was one that you were suffering with bad insomnia.
Yeah, a lot of trouble sleeping, a lot of pain, a lot of fatigue, just generally feeling really bad.
Seems like I remember you saying that that day you came in, which was in the afternoon, into the ministry office, you hadn't gone to sleep until 5:30 that morning.
Right.
I would be a miserable wreck if that was the case. It was amazing you were able to get around as you did as well. And what else seemed to be bothering you, Jackie?
Trouble with depression. Everett, I could go on and on. lots of muscle joint aches, pains, fever on and off.
You had an odd...
Lots of bad headaches.
Headaches?
Migraines.
Wow.
Real bad.
And I recall you mentioning an odd rash that seemed to come out on you when you got out in the sunlight.
Oh, yes. That's right. I forgot. The sun sensitivity was really bad then. And I was so sun sensitive that I couldn't ride in my car for very long, even with tinted glass and sunblock on. I had gotten so sensitive that it was, I just say, almost impossible for me to go outside for any length of time.
Well, I guess it could be said, Jackie, that you were not a real happy camper.
Well, I was real sick, I'll say that.
I
was really sick. And
you weren't having a fun time,
no,
is what I'm saying.
No, not at all.
So, praise God, you came in, and we got into the basic ministry and things about the doors that we can open and doors that our ancestors may have opened. All those things, there's 16 doors that we focus on before we get into ministry, and then we went through a prayer of that was designed to close those doors. It takes about 10 minutes to do that prayer. So as we got into ministry, what seemed to happen, Jackie?
Well, we went through several things that I had to just literally give up. And I could really feel as those things were, you know, given up. I felt better. I felt lighter. My spirit felt lighter.
Oh, there was some unforgiveness, wasn't there? So,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, so common with most all of us. If you've been alive a few years, it seems like we've all had plenty of people do us wrong, and yet the scriptures are so clear that if we don't forgive, we'll get turned over to the tormentors, as Jesus said in Matthew 18:34-35. And I guess it could be said you were tormented.
Yes, and I have to kind of throw in here that I'm not a person that holds grudges, so I didn't have a lot of areas where I felt like I needed to forgive other people. And I'm pretty forgiving, but I had things in my life that weighed heavy on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had, so it was really just, you know, getting rid of things that were hard to handle, you know, hard to bear.
And releasing them over to Jesus.
Right.
Well, as we got then into ministry, did you feel anything, or what seemed to go on as we ministered?
Well, we prayed, and you laid your hands on me at different points in my body, wherever I felt that I needed to be touched on my back or my shoulders or whatever.
Actually, I think I was using the Bible to touch.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You were.
We always have our Bibles handy.
Pardon?
We always have our Bibles handy, you know. So.
Yeah, you're right. You were using your Bible. But I think the most dramatic thing for me was I was having a lot of lower back pain. And at the end of the ministry, at the end of the session, you had placed your hand on my lower back, or maybe just the Bible, and I felt heat. It felt like someone put a really hot heating pad on my lower back, and that heat spread literally up my body. It felt like just becoming extremely flushed, you know, hot all of a sudden. And that was, you know, for me, that was a moment of, gosh, I'm clean.
Wow.
It was just really a miraculous experience.
Jackie, was that when we were addressing the spirit of infirmity or of lupus, or just mainly your back?
Well, it was right. It was right at the end of our session. I think you were actually praying for me to be filled with the Spirit.
Uh huh.
I believe that's what it was. But I had had back pain, and that's where you started at, with my lower back.
Uh-huh.
And just literally filled me up.
Praise God.
I mean, my whole body was hot.
The Holy Spirit was doing a work, no doubt.
Yes.
Well, I remember at the end of the session, Jackie, I thought you looked wonderful.
I felt so good. I can't even remember the last time I felt that wonderful. And not just physically well, but spiritually, emotionally, it was great.
Praise God. That's our Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, when did you start seeing changes in your life, Jackie?
Oh, immediately. Since then, there have been a lot of things that we prayed over that have not bothered me. You know, weights that I had carried from different points of my life, that they're gone.
Are you sleeping well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sleeping good.
How about that very night you went home? Did you sleep well then?
Yeah.
I'll bet you were
not
tired.
Not right when I got home, because I was kind of excited, but But yeah, sleeping's been great. My rash that I was so sensitive to, I've only had one outbreak, and I feel like I can go anywhere I need to go. I couldn't get under fluorescent lighting. I couldn't, you know, I was limited to when I could drive, how far I could drive, and that doesn't really bother me anymore.
Wow. And you probably learned, like on that rash, if it does try to come back, you can rebuke it in Jesus' name and it'll go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
As the Word tells us, like in James 4:7, he said to resist the devil and he will flee, and that's mm-hmm. what we all find. It's so wonderful having this power in Jesus' name. All of us have it as Christians, and, you know, most people just haven't learned about the enemy, you know, and they're just sitting there with their guns in their holsters, so to speak. Well, so your life has turned around. The pain is pretty well gone and all
yep.
that?
Yep. I was having, you know, major joint pain. And, I can tell you that at the point that I came in to see you, I was really having feelings and thoughts that I was going to die. I felt that bad. And, you know, I don't even think about that anymore.
Praise
it's
God.
Just, it's gone.
And, of course, we did address spirits of death and mm-hmm. death by lupus and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And something else is one of the things that you gave me when I was there was a pamphlet that has everything in it that we talked about, you know, everything that we went through during that ministry. And it's wonderful.
Called
it's got lots of good stuff in it.
The SWAT manual, Spiritual Warfare Attack Team manual, that we give out to the teams and also to those that come for ministry.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jackie, how exciting it is. Just keep praising the Lord for what he's done for you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and that'll build faith in others out there that need this type of ministry.
Well, here on the program today is someone that is doing the works of Jesus like this. I'd like to welcome Lisa Lee in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Everett.
Thank you for coming on the show with me, and how exciting it's been to find out about this part of the gospel. Amen?
Oh, absolutely.
Who would have thought that God would actually use us like this, just normal believers, in seeing the power move and to set the captives free, to see healings come forth, seeing the works of Jesus truly coming to pass. Who would have thought all that?
Oh, it's just absolutely incredible. It is incredible.
Lisa, I know you were born again some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was it?
I was 5 years old.
Oh.
My mother led me to the Lord when I was just five, and, of course, I've been, you know, in church and trying to serve Jesus to the best of my ability, you know, ever since.
Oh, yeah, And how about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues?
I got that about 12 years ago. Finally realized I really needed that, and which, of course, I did. And so that's about how long it's been, about 12 years.
Well, you're rather well-seasoned, I would say, Lisa, as it goes. You've got a few years working there in the fullness of the gospel.
Well, but I tell you what, Everett, until I saw what you're doing at Deliverance Ministries, I have seen a lot of things. I mean, I love to go to conferences and I see things, and I've seen some just spectacular miracles, but the consistency of miracles and healings and people getting set free that we see every night at Deliverance Ministries, I've never seen this before in my life.
Well, how long ago was it that you heard about Deliverance Ministries and came over here to Oklahoma City on a Monday night?
Well, I came for myself about a year ago, and I really got set free from just a lot of stuff. And then I just kind of rocked on for like another year, and when my son was just having some real problems, and he had strayed from the Lord and had just gotten into things that he shouldn't have, and he was just having some problems and was actually looking for an exorcist because he was having things just torn up, his vehicles and different things happen around his house. And I said, well, I don't know an exorcist, but I know Everett Cox, and I think he can help you. So that's what got us over your way just this last fall.
And did he get some freedom?
Oh, my goodness. his life was so dramatically changed. In one evening, he was set free from drugs, from alcohol. The spirit that was actually harassing him was a destroyer spirit that was just tearing up his vehicles. He had actually torn up either blown an engine or transmission or something on three vehicles in one week. So that's what got him coming your way. And he's a totally changed person.
Hallelujah. And you know, as bizarre as all that sounds, I remember it's been quite a few years ago. I was ministering to a man one time, and this demon started talking through him, and it said its assignment was to destroy the parts on his car. So,
oh, my gosh.
You know, I that's why today I say I'm not surprised at anything. There's a lot more going on from the satanic realm than any of us has suspected. That's obviously clear.
Absolutely.
And but when we can find those kind of things out, praise God, who has the greater power?
Absolutely,
we do, in Jesus' name. We can cancel all that and blow it away, and that's apparently what happened with your son. Well, what went on next then, Lisa?
Well, there was such a change in his life. Well, his wife decided that she wanted to come for deliverance, and so I picked her up. She lives down in Seminole County. I picked her up and dropped her off on that day. That was one night that I didn't stay. And before I guess later on that evening, I get a call, and my son and my daughter-in-law, they are just laughing and crying at the same time and just saying, thank you, Jesus, and praise you, Jesus. And I'm thinking, what is going on? I couldn't even get my son. He could not even stop praising Jesus enough to tell me what happened. So I said, put Melissa on the phone, and she was healed just spectacularly and miraculously that evening that she went to deliverance of a neck that had been severely broken. All the vertebrae were either cracked or broken in her neck about 2.5 years ago. When it healed, it fused her neck together. She couldn't turn her head left or right, up or down, except just maybe a teeny tiny bit, and the pain associated with that was just debilitating.
There was even a floating piece of bone, wasn't there, affecting the nerves or something?
Yes, there was a chip, a bone chip that had come off the most damaged vertebrae, and it was just kind of out there, and it wasn't attached to the vertebrae at all. I mean, it was just a kind of a triangle chip that was just floating. It was in a bunch of nerve endings, and was just...
The x-ray showed that.
Yes, it showed it. So it was unbelievable. It showed it floating around. And then the x-rays that we had taken after she had gone through deliverance and had, you know, been prayed for healing, that chip goes right back where it belongs, and it's just, and you could kind of see a little fine line where it had been detached, and it went back on. It grew, it, you know, Jesus just healed it, so it went back on, and it's not floating
God.
Around anymore. It grew back.
Amen. Well, that it's everybody praises the Lord for those kind of miracles. Amen.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, it's just changed their lives. It's totally changed her life. They had, you know, she had no hope. She had no hope for ever having a normal life. As a matter of fact, her surgeons had told her that eventually her head would just drop down onto her chest because there was no muscle tone there, and it was just such, her neck was so severely damaged, which that's just a horrible future for a girl that's 24 years old.
Oh, yes, and she went through the process, which we found to be such an integral part of getting to the goal line in so many areas, including healing, the unforgiveness, getting those doors shut that we might have opened, generational stuff broken off, and various curses and things that we take people through before ministry. And then when the team got with her, they took her through, and she even felt spirits coming out, didn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. She just felt stuff leaving, and just as the night wore on, she was just got freer and freer, and just these chains, the bondage just got broken off, and they were just going away. And she's just at the same time, or maybe a week later, got the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and just is praising the Lord and praying in the Spirit, and her life is so totally changed.
And she was healed instantly that night. I mean, when they laid hands on her finally at the end of the deliverance session and spoke healing, here it came, praise God.
And Mark, my son Mark, was there while she was being ministered to, and he saw her head move, and of course it was just, he said it was just, you know, wild after that, because he realized, you know, something, of course a miracle had happened, because she hadn't been able to turn her head for 2.5 years. And so evidently it got quite interesting at that point whenever she was just instantly healed. She just felt warmth on her neck, and of course the Lord was just working there. And then, her head was free. It just totally healed. Jesus
how awesome.
Is so awesome.
Well, that's our Jesus.
Absolutely.
Setting the people free and healing them. Now,
right.
Lisa, you getting so excited, you started finding out that even you could do this kind of ministry, haven't you?
Well, that is really was a real surprise to me because that wasn't anything that I ever thought about doing myself. My goal was to take as many people to you and your team and get them delivered. I just couldn't see myself doing that. But as it turned out, it's just, you know.
Well, you kept learning and coming over from Tulsa on Monday nights and learning with us, setting in with us and all. And then the evening came when you did your first one.
That's right. Yeah, I was really nervous about it, but it just went exactly like I had seen, you know, many other ones go, and it was a fellow, just a sweet guy, got just totally set free from a bunch of stuff that shouldn't have been on him in the first place.
Well, he's
know?
A strong Christian, wasn't he? And
yeah, spirit-filled Christian, just the neatest person you'd ever want to meet.
But he
just
felt the evil spirits coming out, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah,
all of them.
Coughed or something?
He coughed on everyone, so it was like, that was great because, you know, that doesn't always happen. But everything coughed, and it's like, okay, you know, we know that's gone, and we just go on to the next one or the next batch or whatever.
The Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word shall not pass away. And Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And here you are, Lisa, doing the works of Jesus. How exciting.
Well, it is the most incredible thing I have ever done in my life. It happened because, well, you kept encouraging me, although I wasn't very susceptible to the encouragement because I'm thinking, no, I just can't do this. But then, you know, you would be shorthanded and, you know, it's like, come on, Lisa. And I guess the night that I helped my first person through deliverance, my friend was there that we're prayer partners, and so she's like, okay, you know, I'm going to be praying, and so we can do this. So, and we did. I was just like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
I can't believe it.
And you really helped the guy. That's
you know what? That was, it was so awesome to hear back. I mean, that is the most incredible thing, is hearing back from people that you worked with, and this is one night, and they actually, you know, got healed and are free from all this bondage.
And you knew he had to be better. I mean, if a person, and he probably had, what, 3 dozen demons, and that's usually typical.
Oh, probably about that. And this is the thing that was so neat, though, as we were going through the deliverance, like pain that he had, like in his hands and knees and back, it started leaving, even though we were just addressing just the regular group of demons and stuff. And when we got through, he jumps up and he goes, I'm going to start jogging again. I'm going to start running again. He felt so good. I'm like, well, yeah, way to go, Jesus. You know, this is so great. So
and
he was really happy, and he felt good. And, you know, he had a hope for other people that actually he had come just seeking some information for other people. And, you know, it's a hope he never had before. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen happen in my life. And we know it's supposed to happen. We read about it. We know that, you know, like you say, the Word of God is the truth, and that's supposed to happen. But my God.
Well, Lisa Lee of Tulsa, Oklahoma, thank you so much for being on the program.
We have a testimony today on the program. I'm on the telephone with Susie Wallman of Fort Worth. Actually, it's, what is it, Lake City?
No, it's South Lake.
South Lake, Texas, which is near Fort Worth. Good to have you, Susie.
Thank you.
Susie, you had brought your daughter up about 5 weeks ago now for ministry. How'd you happen to hear about Deliverance Ministries in the first place way down there?
Well, we have some friends who went through your deliverance training. And when we began looking for deliverance ministry for our daughter, we called some of the people whose walk we had seen was a pure walk and a true walk, and one couple recommended you. So we gave you a call, and praise God, you were there for us.
It worked out, and you brought your daughter, your husband, and you and your daughter came up, and
and got into ministry here at the office. And why don't you explain to the listeners, if you would, Susie, on what was going on? What prompted you to come?
Okay, our daughter Lauren is 18 years old, and about a year ago, she started having all kinds of stomach problems, and we thought that they were digestion related and possibly food allergies. And we went through a lot of medical procedures and trying to figure out what was going on, working with nutritionists and so forth, and it became pretty clear after a while that this was an eating disorder. And in her case, she was eventually diagnosed with anorexia. And we began to seek counsel for her, and traditional counsel told us that this was something she would struggle with the rest of her life and that she'd never be free from it.
How much weight has she lost, Susie?
She lost about 30 pounds, and you've got to understand that Lauren's only 5'4". She's real small anyway. So to lose 30 pounds, she got down to just under 100 pounds, which is not too bad. Some anorexics get down to 50 or 60 pounds, and mm-hmm. at that point, they've usually done irreparable damage to their bodies.
Mm.
Fortunately for us, Lauren's anorexia did not proceed that far because God is so gracious to show us what's going on and to lead us when we seek Him. And when we were told that she would never be over this, that this would be something she'd struggle with the rest of her life, we just knew that was not God's will for her. That was not the truth in Lauren. So we began to recognize that anorexia is a particularly insidious spirit, and we wanted to get her free of that spirit, so we began to look for a deliverance ministry that would be patient with understanding that people with eating disorders are not allowed to ask for help. That's one of the rules the eating disorder sets up for them. If they break the rules, they are punished terribly by their eating disorder. And so once we begin to understand what this particular spirit was like, we knew that the only way for Lauren to be free from it was to go through deliverance.
Now, Lauren had been hearing voices.
Yes. Anorexia, as I said, is an incredibly insidious spirit, and it sets up rules that she has to follow. Those rules include such things as you can't eat, or if you eat, that you are such a lousy, terrible person that you must exercise excessively to get rid of the weight. Some of the things are just terribly destructive to a person's self-esteem.
I remember her saying that the voices would say, "Don't touch that fork."
Right. Right. She wasn't allowed to do things.
And if she did, they would punish her.
Yes, severely. And it just tears them down inside. It's very difficult to deal with too, because so many people approach it from the tough love approach, and it does not work with them because they're not allowed to ask for help. And if tough love requires the person to ask for help and to take some initiative on their own, and in this case, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you came when you came up, you already had some possible spirit names in mind. You had read a secular book that, as it turned out, was rather informative, even along these lines.
Yes, it was. In fact, I'm quite sure that the author did not realize how precisely she pegged this particular demon, but when we began to read it, we were very aware of the fact that this was demonic. And also, Lauren was quite helpful. She knew some of these demons by name, and she told us who they were. So that was real helpful. But the sad part was, on our way up to see you, in the car, she told us that she had been told by the spirits that when she went through deliverance that they would kill her. And so she knew, in her heart, she just knew that when she came up here and we went through deliverance, she was going to die. And she asked us to be ready to call 911 because she knew that that was going to be it. But she was so tormented by these demons that even physical death was preferable to what she was living with.
Bless her heart. And of course, it isn't too hard to start working up a list anyway by simply what they're pushing. I mean, obviously, the death spirit would be there. Death by anorexia, death by starvation, and they all come to kill, destroy, and steal. So there was no doubt a pretty good sized grouping there. We dressed probably several dozen suspects of deception, and that we're lying to her and confusing her and all that. And actually, when we did the deliverance, in her situation, it was rather routine and no big deal about it. She didn't seem to feel very much at all, did she?
No, and frankly, when she first went in, she didn't know for sure what was going to happen. But it was not real dramatic. The spirits, which is interesting to me, they're very vocal spirits normally. During our deliverance session, they were very quiet.
They were as quiet as a mouse, weren't they, Susie? They were, I guess, intimidated to the fact that we had ganged up on them in Jesus' name, and they weren't saying anything and trying to hide, no doubt. But we shot our guns through there in the name of Jesus and came against these and finally wound up. And when we finished, I remember we were all a little surprised to hear Lauren say, "Why, I even feel hungry."
That was a delight to our ears. We hadn't heard her say that in so long. It was quite refreshing to take our daughter out to dinner.
And you all stopped and ate, actually, as you started back to Fort Worth, didn't you?
Right, we did.
And I remember when I talked to you that following week, she had even wanted her daddy to make some spaghetti and meatballs or something
uh-huh.
that she particularly liked.
She sure did.
Bless her heart, sounded like she overate even. You know, no doubt her stomach had shrunk quite
yes,
a bit.
Yes, it had. And the most difficult part at this particular juncture is the fact that she's having a hard time eating as many calories as she needs to eat. She just doesn't have the capacity, but she's working on it, and the only reason she doesn't eat it is because she gets full, not because she's told she can't.
Yes. Now, Susie, I think it's interesting to note that you all had some more warfare, that you had to continue the process even down there in your home. What was it, the following week?
Yes, it was about a week later. Lauren had been seeming to do quite well through the week, but this one night, the demons just attacked her in force, and we had to do some major spiritual warfare, and this time they were not quiet, nor were they still. But Lauren was cooperative with us in going back through
Praise
the deliverance
God.
Manual and closing doors and casting out demons again. And she did tell us later that she had fallen into fear and was letting demons back into her life because she was afraid.
You know, that particular process like that is not unusual, Susie. That it's seldom would anyone...